Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome on today's monthly ALAC meeting on Tuesday, the 23rd of September at 1400 UTC. On today's call on the English channel, we have Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Evan Leibovich, Alan Greenberg, Leon Sanchez, Rafid Fatani, and Baron Gillen. We also have Roosevelt King, Cyranus Vardanyan, Alan Skuse, Ron Sherwood, Ronalia Abdul-Rahim, Jahangir Hossein. On the Spanish channel, we have Fatima Cambronero, Carlos Vera, Alberto Soto, and Antonio Medina Gomez. On the French channel, we have Hadja Ouattara. We also have Julie Hammer, who may be joining us late, but sorry, she is on the call already. And from staff today, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, and myself, Gisela Gruber. Our interpreters on the French channel are Camilla. Spanish channel, we have Veronica and David. Russian channel, we have Galina and Ekaterina. Apologies today noted from Tijani Benjima, Holly Raich, Ali El-Michel, Ellen Strickland, and Maureen Hilliard. Please remind everyone to set their names when speaking.
You might have to repeat the end of the roll call because that was completely, couldn't hear anything basically due to the interference.
My apologies. I will just confirm who we have as apologies today. Tijani Benjima, Holly Raich, Ali El-Michel, Ellen Strickland, and Maureen Hilliard. And just to remind everyone to please state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but to allow the interpreters to identify you on the other language channels, and also to please speak at a reasonable speed to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and in fact, we should be adopting the agenda. We have a standard ALAC monthly call agenda with our policy development activities. We will be making a vote on the ALS accreditation voting at item number 7. And then we'll have our items for discussion, including the review of the at-large meetings coming up in Los Angeles, an update on the post-ATLAS 2 activities, and a quick update on two at-large working groups, one being the ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the IANA function, and one being the future challenges working group. So that's basically our call today. Any amendments to the agenda or additions, you have the possibility to do so now. Evan Leibovich, you have the floor.
Hi, Olivier. Just a reminder that I also want to do something on 10, so make it 10C for the new GTLD working group.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. 10C, we will add the new GTLD working group. 5 minutes? Are you okay with 5 minutes?
I'm hoping I can do it in 5. There's a possibility it may take more, but we'll get it. We'll see when we get there.
Okay. Thank you, Evan. Any other changes or additions? None? Okay. Let's proceed forward then. The agenda is adopted, and I now invite you to have a look at the last call's action item, the call of the 26th of August, and we're going to review the open action items. There are some which are standing open action items, for example, Ariel Yang to work with David Antilixing and Olivier on the development of an overall workspace for the collection of at-large action items. That's ongoing. staff to monitor the use of additional languages over the course of a few months. As ALAC, AP Rallo, and LAC Rallo calls will be offered additional language interpretation by the language services. In fact, I'd be interested in a quick update from staff on this. How are we doing on the interpretation?
Olivier Giesler here. We will be providing the list with an update on the attendance on the various language channels that we've added, namely the Chinese on the AP Rallo and Portuguese on LAC Rallo, but we don't have the figures today. We're working on this with Adigo, so I'd prefer to send it by email. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. Thank you for this, Gisela. Let's go to the next one. Olivier, to take up the issue of volunteer recognition and consideration with other SO and AC chairs as an ICANN-wide issue. Let's keep this one open. I have taken up the issue, but there hasn't been very much traction on this. The SO and AC chairs are busy primarily on the INA stewardship transition issues, on the ICANN accountability issues, and on other issues happening in their own constituency and communities. So at the moment, this is pretty much on the side, on the back burner, as one would say. Next, staff to investigate with web admin if and when we can move the Atlas 2 website off Eduardo Diaz's server. That's a high importance action item. Let me ask for an update from Heidi Orish. Heidi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. An update is that it will be moved over to the ICANN website, but in static format. So again, no changes can be made once it's moved over. Thank you, Olivier. And that should be happening relatively quickly now. I'll get a date for that today.
Okay, thanks very much, Heidi, for this. Let's make sure that all of the items are transferred over and are working correctly before making it live. Static format is because I understand the ALAC website or the ICANN website is not using WordPress. So effectively what we're now doing is to take an archive copy of the website and that will remain as such. Is that correct?
Correct. This is Heidi. Correct.
Okay. Thank you for this, Heidi. Olivier speaking. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you continue with that and basically work with Eduardo on this. Let's go to the bottom of the page, the newly assigned action item, Terry Agnew to follow up on the missing reports from Atlas 2 working group chairs. And, of course, there is this, and there's also a small ad hoc group that has come together to summarize all of the Atlas 2 working group chair reports into one larger report as such. So I believe that's also on its way. Could I just have a quick status update on this? I note that Terry is not with us, so maybe we can just pass on that and leave it open for the time being. Okay, so no movement on this. Let's then go, I don't see anybody put their hands up, so that's the action items done, and let's go back to our agenda. And we're now going to the review of current ALS applications. And I'm not sure who in staff will be speaking on this. I think usually it's Natalie, but she is not on the call, so who is willing to move forward on this?
Hi, this is Heidi. I'm going to try. If any of my staff have any updates, please let me know. So currently we have 180. The most recently certified was R. Wright, and we have several applications pending. Looks like we have 6 applications pending, with one being suspended currently. So I think that's where we are right now. Olivier?
Thank you very much for this, Heidi. It's Olivier speaking. I count 5 applications pending. I count 1, 2, 3. I count 5 applications recently certified and 5 pending.
Yes, you're correct. This is Heidi. Yes, you're correct.
I guess it's early morning.
half a cup of coffee okay. so far, so.
Thank you, Heidi. Olivier speaking. I would like to extend a warm welcome to the recently certified ELSs, Our Rights, Open Source Foundation for Nigeria, Internet Society Chat Chapter, Online News Association, and the Instituto Panameo de Derecho y Nuevas Tecnologías. Great to see the ALAC and the at-large community growing. 180 ALSs, we are 20 short of reaching 200. And of course, I remind you that we are now also going to go through a period of cleaning up some of the ALSs that are defunct or that have disappeared or are simply not reachable or active at all. And that's a process which has already started with some at-large structures or former at-large structures being decertified. But that certainly is great news to see it growing, whilst at the same time better ALSs and good quality involvement. Any comments or questions on any of these applications? I don't see anyone put their hand up. So let's continue. And the next part of our call is the reports. Now, we're not going to be looking through all of the reports.
This is Antonio Medina. I have a question, please. May I interrupt you? I have a question.
Oh, yes. Antonio Medina, you have the floor.
Antonio Medina speaking. Good morning, everyone. I would like to ask about the application of Internauta Colombia because it was not mentioned and I have an objection about it.
Okay. At the moment, Antonio, it's Olivier Capanablanc speaking. At the moment, the applications are pending and we are awaiting regional advice. So this is not in the ALAC's hands yet. This is still in the La Corralo hands. And in fact, we have both the Internauta Colombia and also ISOC South Africa Gauteng chapter that are awaiting regional advice. So you would have to discuss this first with your region, and then the ALAC would be awaiting the response and the advice from La Corralo. Now, of course, if you disagree with the response from La Corralo, you're very welcome to email the ALAC and provide the details what you think should be different than the La Corralo advice. But at the moment, this is not something which the ALAC would be discussing. Is that okay with you, Antonio?
This is Antonio Medina Gomez speaking. Anyway, Olivier, I would like to state for the record something that is taking place there. May I take the floor to explain that?
Go ahead. If you, I'm not one to stop people from speaking here, so proceed forward, Antonio.
This is Antonio speaking. Well, the thing is that Internauta Colombia and the bylaws, and it's also including the name of the Internet Associations of the Association of Internet Users, and that is part of the name, and that is included in the bylaws. But I don't understand why that applications of Internauta Colombia include our name, which is the Internet Users Association from Colombia. We have submit documentation before the Chamber of Commerce, and I would like to say that this name, the Internet Users Association, is part of our values and is a trademark registered, recorded by us. So I think this is the right time to call your attention for them not to use our name within their registration or within their bylaws. And there should be a procedure that should be established before the Chamber of Commerce. We have been asking for information about that, and they are not registered in the Chamber of Commerce. The authorities, the Colombian authorities, are taking care of these, and this is one of my concerns that I would like to mention. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Antonio. I see Alberto Soto, so I think maybe Alberto has a response or a follow-up on this. Alberto Soto, you have the floor.
This is Alberto Soto speaking. Thank you, Olivier. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Just a clarification for Antonio. We have two or three reminders in La Crallo to show the approvals or objections with respect to this organization that wants to get certified. So I would ask that, just as you said right now, I would ask that you access the wiki, because this is available and there is little time for our recommendation, and that you write all these on the wiki, because unfortunately we haven't really received this and we have nothing to say. This is Antonio speaking. Thank you, Alberto. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And I note in the chat, it's Olivier Capanablanc speaking, I note in the chat that Leon Sanchez mentions that if a Nota Colombia is not legally registered to operate in Colombia, and et cetera, then that will show up in the due diligence that is performed by ICANN at large staff. And then the regional advice, of course, will take that into account. So this is really all part of the due diligence and regional approval process. But thank you for alerting us to this. And I gather La Crallo will be able to take this into account and to provide its advice accordingly. I'd like to move on. Alberto Soto, you still have your hand up? Okay, thank you. Right, let's then move to agenda item number 5, the monthly reports, and as per usual, I invite you to look at the reports page, and I'd like to thank all of the people who have filed reports. We have both the regular reports, but we also have the liaison reports. But on this occasion, we will start with the ESSAC liaison report. We usually listen to the ESSAC, the CCNSO, and the GNSO liaisons. We'll start with the ESSAC today. And for this, we'll have Julie Hammer.
Thank you, Olivier. I hope there's not too much interference. Julie speaking. The ESSAC this month held its annual workshop in Washington last week. Regrettably, I was not able to attend, but I did look into one of the sessions, which was discussing future work parties, and having just completed a couple of work parties and ESSAC reports, there are two proposed new work parties which are still formulating their exact scope. One is going to be related to the new GTLDs and having a look at how the implementation is going and any security and stability implications of that. And another is related to registration protection and credential management, registrant protection and credential management. Again, the exact scope is still being determined. So I have indicated my interest in serving on both of those work parties because I know both topics are of great interest to the ALAC, so I'll try and keep up to date with where they're going and hopefully they will eventually provide ESSAC reports that are useful to the community. I've also, subsequent to my being the ESSAC representative on the drafting team to produce the charter for the IANA Stewardship Transfer Cross-Community Working Group, I've just kept an eye on where that is, but the ESSAC is currently calling for volunteers to serve on that cross-community working group, and I'm not aware of whether anyone has volunteered or not as yet. So that completes my report. Olivier, back to you.
Thank you very much, Julie. And are there any questions or comments regarding Julie Hanna's report? No questions or comments. Okay, thank you. Then we'll now, I'm not quite sure actually. Are we going to have the CCNSO liaison report? Because I believe that Maureen is at PACINET. So she is unable to join us. Will anyone else on the call be able to speak with regards to the CCNSO? I see Ron Sherwood. Ron, would you be able to say a few words if it was possible for you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. And apologies for putting you into the deep end just like this without having told you in advance. But I just it only just clicked in my head now. So sorry. You have the floor, Ron.
I have, but I do not have Maureen's report in front of me, although I know she posted it. And I referred to it, and I had a message from her this morning that she has updated it. So it is on the ALAC CCNSO liaison report page. You can find that on your wiki. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't read it to you, but we are now all set for Wednesday. Oh, wait a minute. Let me check my agenda here, because I want to make sure this is correct. Sorry to keep you. It is going to be on the CCNSO ALAC is between 7:30 and 8:15 a.m. On Thursday the 16th in October. The agenda has been agreed, and it is, as I say, in Maureen's report. And unfortunately, I have a conflicting meeting with that time. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about it, but I'm going to try and spend as much of my time during that 45 minutes as I can at that meeting.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Ron. Could I just ask at-large staff to please update the agenda page for the Thursday so that you can actually, they can add the agenda itself? I was just looking at the CCNSO activity. I don't see the agenda there as such. I do see it. There we go.
It's
okay, that's point number two. Yeah, I've got it. Point number two, yeah. ALAC CCNSO Council meeting on Thursday the 16th of October, and it's all there. So if I could ask at-large staff to update this on our meeting pages, that would be great. Thank you for this, Ron. Thanks for pointing us to this, and bravo for having put an agenda together. This is going to be very early on Thursday morning, but we will have some coffee and light pastries and so on provided, so at least we will be able to function somehow. This, of course, had to be changed due to the added sessions on the Thursday, and it's a bit unfortunate because I think that we do have a lot to discuss with the CCNSO, since we are the two more geographically diverse parts of ICANN, but let's make the best of it. And of course, we will be speaking about the Atlas II declaration, and then of course the huge discussion of the INA and accountability issues. Let's go then to our next liaison. I don't see anyone putting their hand up, so I don't believe that there are any questions for you, Ron. So thanks very much, Ron Sherwood. And we now have Alan Greenberg for the GNSO liaison reports. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. Not too much to report of any urgency. The GNSO and ALAC meetings are out of sync these days, and the next GNSO meeting is later this week. So the last one is now several weeks ago. The report is up on the wiki. A couple of small things to report. First of all, there was a substantive discussion with Chris Despain on the new GTLD process committee's request for clarification regarding IGO and Red Cross, Red Crescent protections, that there were a number of items that the board did not approve out of the GNSO recommendation, and were looking for the GNSO to perhaps change their recommendations to be in line with what the GTLD committee was prepared to offer the GAC, which is significantly less than the GAC was asking. The bottom line is that there were multiple interpretations of the letter the board committee sent to the GNSO. The current recommendation is that the GNSO sometime, but not clear when, ask the committee exactly what they meant and go forward from there. The implication is that this item is not something that's exceedingly high priority and that we need to address, before we get to Los Angeles, for instance. The GNSO did approve their interim liaison with the GAC, and that was Mason Cole. The position is until the end of this fiscal year and to be reviewed by the GAC and the GNSO at that point. And the main reason for doing so is not so much to report to the GNSO and what's going on in the GAC, but vice versa. That is, make sure the GAC is up to date with what's going on in the GNSO. And lastly, if I remember, trying to remember what the lastly was, the GNSO did approve the cross-working group on the IANA stewardship transfer. As I've reported in email, there was some unhappiness that we had added an amendment and hadn't given them a heads up that we were discussing that, to at least give them the possibility of discussing the amendment itself and perhaps approving it. So at this stage, they have approved the base charter and the change from the SAC. They have not approved the ALAC amendment, and to be honest, I think it's unlikely that it will rise to a high enough priority that they go back and do it. So that's somewhat unfortunate, but not particularly unexpected. And I think that's about all that I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. Are there any questions or comments on the GNSO liaison report? Seeing no one put their hand up, I believe there are no questions. So thanks. Thanks to all of our liaisons. And of course, you have, and I'm speaking to everyone here, you have a whole afternoon or day or morning to be able to go through the working group reports as well and the RALO reports. Once again, thanks to all of the reporters for these. Now, let's go on to our next part in the agenda, and that's going to be the new business items for decision. And so several recently adopted ALAC statements that you can see linked to our agenda. We're not going to go through those except if anybody has some specific points to make on these. But the current statements being currently developed or reviewed are as follows. First, we have Enhancing ICANN Accountability 2.0. And Alan is considering draft statement. Okay, that's an interesting one. So we will see in a moment from Alan. In fact, let's do them one at a time. So Alan Greenberg, do you have some feedback on Enhancing ICANN Accountability 2.0? Bearing in mind, this is the 21-day comment period that was asked for by SO, AC, and SG chairs, so ICANN community leaders, when they met in Istanbul, not all of them, but when some of them met over with the board and with our senior staff in Istanbul. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I just got back late last night, and I haven't looked at it yet. I understand where the deadline is looming. Really, it's an issue of comparing what was said in the letter, complaining about the process, and comparing it to what Fadi has said. and seeing if there's anything that we still need to say at this point. I certainly welcome input from anybody else, either privately or on the wiki. The real issue is, do we believe they have addressed our concerns, and all the concerns of the community, and particularly the ones that are of interest to ALAC, or do we believe there are still outstanding things that need to be said in the public comment? I mean, at the very least, if we believe that Fatty's letter has addressed everything and we think everything is going to be agreeable to us, then we should say that. If that is not the case, then we really need to identify what the issues are. And Olivier, since you were one of the authors and were participating in the discussion that led to that letter, I think we need some input from you at the very least, but certainly anyone else who has strong feelings on it, speak up very quickly. We don't have a lot of days left. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And should I just add that there has also been some follow-up discussions between SOAC and SG chairs by email. And there's actually another letter with a suggestion from Keith Drazik on behalf of the registries. And so what I'll be doing immediately after this call is to forward this letter to the ALAC. I just obtained authorization just about an hour ago that one could forward the letter to our respective communities. So I will be forwarding this over to the ALAC for more discussion, and hopefully that will be able to help you out, Alan, in
Thanks.
Drafting a response, or maybe even in us as in the ALAC, being able to join into that response.
Thank you, Olivier. But I'll stress, any of the issues that you were most concerned about and that went into the letter because of the ALAC and you, I think those we need to comment on ourselves, not just go piggyback on the registries. If the issues are all the same, then fine, say so. But again, I think we need to show if there's particular value to the ALAC participating in this. We need to say what it is and not just be a check mark for the registries. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for this, Alan. Evan Nibovich, you have the floor.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan. Alan, quick question. You're already part of the Future Challenges Working Group, and we've been starting to debate this. Is there any linkage at all between what you're planning to do here and the ongoing work that Future Challenges is going to be doing on the issue? Thanks.
I don't think so, and I may be missing something. The real issue here is the process that's being set up by ICANN something that we believe will yield a good result, or, you know, have they rigged things, you know, so that we can't say what we want to be able to say or whatever. The real question is the process that's being set up globally something that we feel we can productively participate in? And you know, I think that's the substance of the question, and come up with an answer which is going to satisfy the world community, because that's in fact our target, and of course the NTIA.
Okay. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, gentlemen. Let's move on to the next one, and on our list, it's the release of country and territory names within the .newstar TLD. This is not the same type of request as introduction of two-character domain names for a whole list of things. This is somehow a bit different, and so the new GTLD working group has been asked to consider whether they would be drafting a statement on this or not. I'm not quite sure. Should I ask Evan or who? Yes, Evan, you have your hand up, so you have the floor.
Actually, that was an old hand from the last question, but I'm happy to. This issue has come up since the last meeting of the new GTLD working group, so I'm happy to take it up. I don't know what the timing is. My guess right now is that when we discuss the issue of two-letter second-level domains, we spent some time addressing, you know, the overlap with the ISO codes for country codes. So I think we already have a general position on it. Whether that takes the form of a specific statement, we can discuss in the next meeting. I the next meeting of the group is actually going to take place, scheduled to take place in L.A. If there's a need to deal with that ahead of time, we need to know. Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much for this, Ivan. It's Olivier speaking. The reply period closes on the on the 8th of November, so you would have time to meet in L.A. and discuss this point and perhaps even produce a statement. Then the initial comment period closes on the 10th of October, so that's a little too fast and too early. This really is a case of giving the whole name, the ability to have the full name in the second level. So that's somehow very different from having the two characters there, because I'm not quite sure how the how that relates to any existing top-level domains. There have been some cases where it has been frowned that the second-level name, being a country or a territory name, was owned by anyone else than the actual country or territory itself. So it's a bit more of a complicated thing. Alan Greenberg, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. With regard to the two-letter codes, we've already said uncategorically that we believe there should be no limitations. So I can't see how we would want to go back on that and say, but for Neustar, you know, there should be limitations. So on that aspect of it, I think it's pretty clear. It should be pretty clear.
Alan, Olivier speaking. Let me say this again. This is not to do with two-character codes. This is to do with the full name of the country.
No, part of it, I believe, is the two-character codes in addition to the name of the country, I think, unless I misread it.
Okay, we would have to have a look at that.
Yeah.
Clearly some work needed. Okay, any other comments or questions on this? Seeing no one else put their hand up, let's go to the next one in our list, and that's the Board Working Group report on the nominating committee. Eduardo Diaz, I believe, has put together a first draft on the wiki. There are a number of comments underneath. There are a number of disagreements between commenters. And being one of them, I shall shut my mouth and let everyone have a look at this. How are we proceeding forward with this? The question is as follows. The working group, the board working group, has made some recommendations that have altered the size of the NOMCOM, or that would alter the size of the nominating committee, and that contains some inaccuracies that one would only know if one was part of the nominating committee. But of course, that's only five at-large people per year, some of whom have done 2 years. So it would be a bit difficult for the ALAC to supply a statement which would only be drafted by those who were the insiders inside the NOMCOM, but not the outsiders or pretty much everyone else. So are there any suggestions to be made here? Do you believe that the ALAC should make a statement, or should it just make a box standard statement and those members of the NOMCOM could make their own independent statements if they disagree with the main statement? I see both Evan and Alan in the queue, so let's start with Evan Leibovitz.
Thanks very much, Olivier. This is Evan speaking. A question based on what you just said. Now, when you said that the existing members that are inside the NOMCOM have noticed some inaccuracies in the commentary, is that based on confidential information, the feedback that you have that indicates the inaccuracies? Would talking about that reveal any confidential information? And your answer to that will dictate what I say next.
Yeah, thanks very much, Evan. It's Olivier speaking. So the information which is there, the confidentiality of the nominating committee doesn't stem from the confidentiality of its processes, but the confidentiality to protect the candidates from being known, so that people who apply don't end up, when they're not taken, don't end up in the dark corner of the ICANN room. And so the processes by which the NOMCOM reaches its decisions are as transparent as possible, and in fact, it has been shared on many occasions by NomCom members, and also during the nominating committee's own reports.
Okay, Olivia, this is Evan. So based on what you're just saying now, then the commentary that you have on this non-com material that speaks of, you know, potential inaccuracies that you can identify because you're within the non-com, it sounds like this falls within the realm of the transparent and open material. So the disclosure of these inaccuracies isn't violating any confidence. If that's the case, then I would suggest that you tell the AILAC about that and allow the AILAC to make a statement on that, just as if there was any other liaison or board or committee chair that was coming and making a request for a statement of all the AILAC based on experiences within their group. I don't see of any particular difference with that. So if it's in your view, based on your participation in the NomCom, that there's some inaccuracies that need to be addressed, I don't think it's out of line to ask the AILAC to deal with it based on the expertise of yourself and the other people within at large who have been on the NomCom. I don't see how that's a problem, how it's out of process, and if it doesn't violate any confidences, I don't see any problem proceeding that way. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Evan. And the points are on the wiki page itself. I mean, they're all laid out, and including one of the ex-NomCom chairs having shared the information. Alan Greenberg is next.
Thank you very much. I guess I'm the one who started this discussion of should certain things be in the AILAC statement or not when Yuria posted his comments. And I don't really see a lot of merit in people who have been on the NomCom telling the AILAC and the AILAC putting it in its statement. I think the comments that come from people who have sat on the AILAC, on the NomCom, and believe that there are inaccuracies either in reporting what is happening now or things that they believe are really dumb in the recommendations, should be saying that under their own name and with the power of saying I was a NomCom, you know, chair or delegate or whatever, and I think the following, and I think that goes for you, Olivier, as a past NomCom member, you know, not on behalf of the AILAC, but on behalf of yourself, based on your knowledge and Yuria and other people. Surely the AILAC can echo those things, but I really think that has a lot less merit than the people who participated in the NomCom saying it on their own behalf. There is only one area that I'm aware of that what Yuria said and what you supported on the wiki is conflicts with what is in the draft statement, and that's something I had originally said in my comment and Eduardo put into the statement, and that is I thought that the concept of delegations sounded good. Yuri had disagreed, you disagreed and gave a rationale, and I changed my opinion. So I tend to agree with you now, and I think that's what these discussions pre-statement should be all about, of people listening and coming to an overall conclusion for the AILAC. So I don't much care whether we take what's in Yuri's or your own personal position and put it in the AILAC statement, but I really think that each individual with NomCom experience should be saying what they believe in direct answer to the public comment, regardless of whether they're participating in another statement or not. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for this, Alan. Next is Raf Hatani.
Well, just to build on what Alan was saying, I certainly think there's merit in actually maybe going down voter route. So for previous NomCom members to come out and speak and say what they feel the issue is. But I do think that maybe there is space for like as a whole to release a statement and suggest that this is an issue that we feel we need to raise. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for this, Raf. It's Olivier speaking. And Yeah, I mean, just to focus on this and very briefly, because I don't want to take the rest of the call on this issue, but the issue of saying, well, we're going to readjust the number of votes between NOMCOM members is really something that shows complete misunderstanding of how the NOMCOM works, and that's where I'm very concerned, because of the fact that the NOMCOM doesn't vote, or rather it has voted only on one occasion in the past 6 or 7 years. And that could have been just because there might have been a deadlock. But ultimately, it doesn't vote. The concept of having delegations is ridiculous as well. And I'm not using soft words for that, because the people on the NOMCOM are looking for the best candidate. They're not looking at putting someone from their own community. The politics of ICANN are completely out of the window in the NOMCOM. And I really have concerns that this will introduce politics in the NOMCOM, when this is probably the only location where there shouldn't be any politics. In fact, I should say there should be more locations where shouldn't be any politics, but the rest of it is pretty much a dead duck. So anyway, that's my personal thoughts, and the discussion will continue on this, and you're all invited to comment on the wiki. Have a look at the different proposals. A comment on the wiki, and I especially ask those of you who have been on a nominating committee to make use of your experience to say what you think about it. And then ultimately, if you could submit your own, as was said by Alan and by Raph and by others, submit your own statement as well to that comment period, that would be of help. Let's move on. Next one, introduction of two-character domain names for .yets, .global, .newstar, .kiwi, .berlin. And again, this is the same type of request, RCEP request, as the previous ones that we have adopted by default. So it's now up for comment. If nobody comments against it, then we will be following the same procedure and adopt that and ratify that statement by default. So we can continue. There's one public comment that we haven't, or that the ALEC has decided so far not to comment on, and that's the proposed changes to the GNSO operating procedures. Very technical, internal GNSO thing, and Alan Greenberg, our GNSO liaison, suggested that this might not be something that the ALEC would want to write about. Dave and Ann-Felix Singh, you have your hand up, perhaps for the previous statement. Dave, you have the floor.
Thank you. This is Dave and Ann-Felix Singh speaking. And indeed, it was regarding the previous statement regarding two-character domain names for the actually .global, .newstar, .tv, .berlin. There's a slight difference in what .global and .newstar have asked for. What .global and .newstar asked for is for the release of all characters at the second level, not just those not on the ISO 3166 list. But I don't think there's a need to be a change to the statement, because even though there might be concerns about visual similarity, I don't think it's a pressing concern for the at large. But that's it. But it is a slight difference. That's it.
Okay, thanks very much, Dave, for this quick update and for the precision. All right, let's go then now to agenda item number 7. That is still part of our items for decision, and that's to do with the ALS accreditation voting. I'm hoping we can go through this quite swiftly. The background to this is that recently Alan Greenberg, paying specific attention to votes and so on, due to his forthcoming duties, has noticed that the ALS accreditation vote has been recently set as being anonymous, whilst in the past it was not anonymous. So he inquired about this, and why was the vote set as anonymous? So this is the vote that the ALAC makes to accredit an APLOB structure. And remembering very faintly in my memory from a few years ago, we had a complaint from a European organization that looked at the process and felt that there were some privacy issues with regards to having some of the information displayed openly or shared openly on the lists, such as some of the due diligence, for example, and also with regards to votes and so on. And so they alerted us to that, and I think, this is just a memory, I think this is when we changed from having an open vote to having a closed vote, pretty much in the same line as whenever we involve, we have a vote involving individuals, such as elections, selections, etc., then we also have an anonymous vote. So the decision today that we should make is whether we should have an anonymous vote or whether we should revert back to an open vote on this. The rationale for having it anonymous, as I mentioned, is that it might introduce bad blood later on if an ALS that has been accredited finds out who in the ALAC has voted against them being accredited, or the other way. And also here, I think we're looking at both accreditation but also de-accreditation votes, whether they should be also anonymous or transparent. The floor is open for comments. The default that we were going to go forward with here would be to have a motion to make the vote officially anonymous, and therefore we would need a vote on that to be able to pass the motion. But first, I open the floor for questions or comments or a full discussion. So this is not, I mean, the elections and selections and appointments are one thing, but we are not going to be discussing election selection appointments. We're today discussing the accreditation of an at-large structure, the vote that takes place after the regional at-large organization has provided a recommendation to the ALAC, which is either a recommendation to certify or a recommendation not to certify the at-large structure. Rafatani, you have the floor.
Hi. What is the pros and cons, other than the fact we would be upsetting people if it isn't anonymous?
Sorry, could you say that again? I didn't hear the start of your sentence. What is the... Oh, have we dropped Raf?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Raf. You have the floor.
Okay. What's the pros and cons of being anonymous other than upsetting people in the process?
On the one hand, one could say if you make it open, then that helps with transparency of votes and certainly goes with the full transparency. On the other hand, the only thing was to upset the people. That's the only thing that I can see. But I see others having put their hands up. Maybe they will be able to help. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, I don't think it's the upsetting people that was the issue. It's the feeling of bad blood and retribution or whatever. You know, if you are voting against someone in your country or your region to become an ALS, that was the reason that there was some concern. Plus, I, Olivier, if I remember correctly, and I wasn't part of it, but I think part of the objection that you had from some ALS or potential ALS in Europe that I think decided not to apply because it said they don't want to be in a position of being rejected and that being public knowledge. So that was the rationale. All of that being said, the way we currently do anonymous polls I think has a problem in it, and that's something we don't have to discuss today but can look at, and that is when we make a poll anonymous, that is, you cannot see how someone voted, we also do not track online who has voted yet, and that I think is somewhat problematic, but that's not something we really need to talk about today. The two should be separate issues. Thank you. One more thing while I have the phone, Olivier, while I have the microphone. I'll remind the ALAC that we did decide another vote is anonymous a couple of years ago, and that was the vote on whether ALAC should file objections on certain TLDs during the new GTLD process. And we made that decision because we really didn't want ALAC people to be subject to harassment from a TLD applicant, you know, who has money at stake at this, and to have it clear who it was who's voted against them or filing an objection against them, and the ALAC made that decision at that point. So there is somewhat of a precedent. Thank you.
Thanks for this reminder, Alan. Next is Leon Sanchez.
Olivier, this is Leon Sanchez. I've been discussing this issue with Fatima on Skype at the moment, and we think that the vote should be open based on that when you cast a negative vote or an abstention, you either way need to give an explanation or a rationale on why you submitted your vote or why you casted your vote in that way. So either way, you would be just de-anonymized by submitting a negative vote and then having to provide an explanation on why you voted that way. So maybe in other times it was important to have an anonymous vote on ALS accreditation, but I feel that to add to the transparency process of ICANN itself, we should do this in an open vote. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Leon. So that's a good counter-argument. Rafatani.
Having Rafatani for the record, having listened to some of my colleagues, I think I completely agree with tonight. I see merit in becoming open and transparent in this rather than try and close the door behind the votes. Just my thoughts. I see very little merit, you know, other than the fact I understand that there might be retribution and bad blood, as it's been mentioned. But I certainly think that the value is actually, the merit is actually in being open and transparent.
Thanks for this, Raf. It's Olivier speaking. So it appears that we don't have consensus at the moment. Any other comments I wouldn't ask for questions right now. I think comments are pretty important. Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Evan. I'm actually going to suggest if we can punt this back to an operational working group or something like that, because as you said, we do not have consensus here. And also, I personally think that there's a bigger issue at play. Having been an individual that in the past who has voted to go against regional advice, that action, because I explained myself, actually led to a reconsideration and a reevaluation by the region of the issue. I think there's a larger issue at hand. Rather than just the individual accountability on the vote so much, is if the ALAC is going to reject the regional advice, it needs to provide a rationale for doing so. I think that goes beyond individuals that vote yes or no. But if the ALAC is going to make a decision to reject the regional advice, somebody from those that voted to do the rejection needs to provide to that region a rationale for why that happened. That's my own take. I don't think we're going to settle it on this call. I think we need to refer it to a working group, let that working group thrash on this issue and bring it back to the ALAC. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Evan, and I am starting to edge in that direction as well. I'll close the queue after Alan Greenberg. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. I certainly do not believe we want to have a vote right now. The issue was just brought up minutes ago. And I think when you brought it up, you presumed it was going to be an open and shut case. It clearly isn't. There is not agreement. So I think we need substantive discussion on it. I'm not sure we need a committee on it. I think that's what the ALAC is. And we can use the internal one if people you know, feel that they want to say something that shouldn't be made public, but I believe it's an ALAC issue, and I don't think we should punt it to a committee at this point. However, that being said, I'll point out that there is an alternative that we may want to discuss, and that is not making public who voted which way, but or at least not initially anyway, but having an open record for the ALAC so that we can know who it is that disagreed, let them present their case, and so that will allow us, as Evan says, to present to the ALS a rationale for why they were rejected, and maybe it's something they can adjust or fix. So it may well be that we need a hybrid in this case, and I would suggest some substance discussion on the mailing list. And since we have people who are voicing both sides of it, I think this is a good place to try to revive our mailing lists and actually have them talk about policy. Thank you.
Thanks very much for this, Alan. And so, indeed, we will be following this up on the ALAC mailing list. And maybe we could have an action item here so we can take away the motion, backtrack, and have an action item for Olivier to follow up on the ALAC mailing list just to stimulate the discussion there. Maybe, Alan, if you could also contribute to that, since you are the person who raised that point to start with.
Try and stop me.
No comment. Thank you. Let's move on. And now we are going into the items for discussion with a final review of the at-large meetings and agendas at our next meeting in Los Angeles. And it's important to go through these because before a meeting, everyone says, well, we're going to Los Angeles or we're going to XYZ, and let's hope that we don't have too much of a busy agenda. And then when it actually happens and we are face-to-face with the day's agenda, it's terrible. And it's just so busy. This year we have, or on this meeting, we've had a few last-minute problems. We were originally going to have quite enough time to be able to address all the issues we needed to address. Unfortunately, two last-minute changes took place. First, on Monday, there were changes to the agenda to effectively stop us from being able to have a very full agenda on the Monday due to the fact that there are quite a few big public sessions taking place, high-interest sessions. So high-interest topic sessions, that's what they're called. But on Thursday, and this was more disruptive, on Thursday, a session on the INA stewardship transition and also a session on ICANN accountability were added. These were large public sessions of the same guise as the ones that were done in London with remote participation, remote hubs, but also therefore clashing with our ALAC wrap-up meeting, which on this occasion, since it was the annual general, it's the AGM that we're dealing with, was going to last 3.5 hours. So we've had to move things around, and you will see that reflected in the agenda. Usually Heidi takes us through the agenda, but this time it's Gisela who has been the main architect of the agenda. And so I'm going to ask her to take us Gisela, do you wish to do this page by page, or how do you wish to do that?
Olivier Gisela for the transcript. I'm trying to upload. There we go. Voila. I think it might be easier to do day by day. I have in the chat given the link to the full ICANN schedule, which is published on the ICANN 51 webpage, as well as a link to the at-large schedule where you can find the agendas, where you can also find the pages where we will be posting the reports, as well as the action items. The Narala Outreach Event Workspace is also linked to this page. So please do take a look. It also has the hubs for the ICANN 51. Venue map, etc., all useful information will be posted on this page, so please do bookmark it. If I may, we're going to start with Sunday. Now, Heidi's not with us to run through the agenda, but if you would like to take... Oops, sorry about that.
Hi.
The PDF didn't come through great. Yes.
Olivia speaking. Maybe I could go through the details of this?
Yes, please do, Olivia. Sorry about the PDF. The English is on the second page. And, sorry, before you start, Olivier, please remember that the French and Spanish have not been translated. So please, if you could tell the French and Spanish speakers on this call, interpreters, to not pay any attention to the French and Spanish. They haven't been translated and are definitely...
And we seem to have lost Gisela completely because she's also dropped off the Adobe Connect. It's Olivier speaking, and what Gisela was trying to say is that the Spanish and the French sections on this agenda are not translated properly. So this is from the old meeting, so please translate from the first column on the left, which is the English column. And so... On the Sunday, we're starting with a meeting with Fadi Shehade for half an hour, then with Sally Costerton, Global Stakeholder Engagement, and then with Teresa Swinehart, who, as you know, is the key person with regards to ICANN accountability and transparency activities, and also the INA stewardship transition. So that's our most of our morning. We're finishing with status of the website. As some of you might know, the website, our ALAC website, is finally, after 8 years, 6 years, 7 years, something like that, being redone, finally being revamped. So we'll have a quick update on that in a moment. But obviously in Los Angeles, there is some work will have been done, and so Chris Gift will be able to speak to us on this. Then we have an update on the GNSO review. That's something which has just started, and so it was good idea to have Larissa Goodnick and also Matt Ashtiani, some of you might remember him, to let us know how this GNSO review is looking. We'll have a long lunch break for once. Afternoon, Academy Working Group. As you know, or as you should know, the leadership training program is taking place again this year, so they will have news fresh, hot off the press, about the previous few days in the week and finding out how well that academy, that leadership training program went, and perhaps what the next steps are. After that, we'll have Ashwin Rangan, the Chief Innovation and Information Officer, and this is the chance for us to speak to him for half an hour about the Atlas II recommendation that is asking for some kind of overall policy tracking system and knowledge management system, which ICANN so lacks at the moment. After the coffee break, we'll have a meeting with the ESSAC, with Patrick Feldstrom and Jim Galvin. That we have 1 hour this time. During our last meeting, we had a short amount of time with them, and it looked as though this was not enough. So there was an action item. We now have 1 hour with Patrick and Jim, and Julie Hammer will be moderating that. Then we have our hot topic one, ICANN, accountability and transparency, and hot topic two, NTIA, INA function stewardship transition. These are just sessions where we will be discussing those two issues as a prelude to later on in the week. We definitely have to formulate what our positions are, and so we will have the time to do so at that point. And finally, we'll have just the usual wrap-up, reminding everyone of the reporting. Monday night, worth knowing, there will not be a gala. At this meeting. So we do have Monday night free to do as we please. Sorry, what am I saying Monday? Sunday night, sorry. We do have Sunday night to do as we please. But I gather most people will be absolutely exhausted after that day. Gisela, are you back with us?
Yes, Olivier, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. I'm now on the phone bridge as well, so you won't lose me again. We will be going through to Monday, where we have a 7:15 start with the ALAC meeting with the NCSG, finishing at 8:15, which will allow us to get to the welcome ceremony at 8:30. We're working on the agenda for the ALAC and NCSG meeting with Olivier and Rafik. I need to get an update on that. Please note that the meetings in green on the wiki pages are the main schedule meetings. These aren't organized by at-large staff. These will be updated. We have got a revised schedule through, so I'll be working on these over the next 24 hours to put all the details in. I will just quickly run through them. Welcome ceremony, 8:30 to 10, 10:30 to 12. We've got the SOAP-led high-interest topics. Then we have the meeting of the cross-working group, cross-working group to develop an IANA stewardship transition proposal on naming related functions. That's during the lunch break, 12:15 to 13:45. We have high interest topics 2 and topics 3 in the afternoon. We have decided that afternoon to organize 3 working group meetings due to the fact that this will allow us to not have overlapping meetings, because that is the issue that we've been faced with, because we don't have the Monday and the Thursday morning. So we have decided to use the Monday afternoon, starting with the at-large metrics working group from 3 to 4, then the at-large capacity building working group from 4 to 5, and then from 5 to 6, we have the Atlas II Implementation Task Force meeting. That does run parallel to the high-interest topic 3. And as Olivier very kindly mentioned, we do have the at-large new GTLD working group from 6 to 7 as well.
Thank you, Fidesz Gisela. It's Olivia speaking. So, yes, I think we lost you for a while, because it's... I thought you'd finished speaking.
Sorry. Sorry, Olivia.
Okay. Sounds like we have a few technical problems at the moment. But anyway, coming back to this... Olivier speaking. So it's a long day, no gala at the end of the day. However, in response to Renalia's question, is there time allocated for the ALAC to discuss and prepare for its meeting with the board? The topic for the meeting with the board, the main topic for the meeting with the board is going to be discussion on the Atlas II recommendations and observations. We have also asked for the board to submit to us a topic they might wish to discuss. If they don't send us anything, then we will have an hour to discuss the follow-up to Atlas II. And you will see on the Monday from 5 to 6 p.m., the at-large Atlas II Implementation Task Force is the working group that is tasked with coming up with the follow-up. So reviewing the current status of the Atlas II recommendations and observations, feedback on the implementation process, discussion of future Atlas timelines. This group, and I invite you all to be part of that meeting, this group will be able to then be ready with answers for the board and be able to take part fully in the discussion with the board on the next morning. Any other questions or comments on the Monday? And obviously, Renalia, is that if you wish to speak, you're absolutely welcome to do so. I see you type frantically. Hopefully, there will be material sent to the board before the meeting. Indeed, there should be. It's I'm not really sure how much material will be sent to the board, but certainly a status update, I think, will be the important thing, and the group has done some work to follow up.
Olivia, this is Heidi.
Yes, Heidi, welcome back.
Yes. Well, I've been listening, but now I'm able to speak a little bit. I do recall that Steve Crocker asked for a 1 to 3 pages on an update of the Atlas II implementation. So I'm wondering if that is something that the working group, the Atlas II, can produce prior to the board meeting, and so they can review that.
Thank you, Heidi. Let's have this as an action item, please, so that we don't lose it. So for the Atlas II, to provide a 3-page summary of post-Atlas II activities.
Olivier,
and back to you. Yes, Heidi, go ahead.
Yeah, again, this is Heidi. It's for Steve Crocker to pass on to the board. So that's what that 1 to 3 pager is for. So for discussion at that meeting with the board on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. Pass to the board. Is there a deadline for this, Heidi?
This is Heidi again. I would need to look. It was a letter. It was a note that Steve wrote to you. So I'll have to review that.
Okay, thanks. I don't think he put any deadline on there. It's Olivier speaking. So let's do it as soon as possible. And I know that the Atlas II will be meeting either later on this week or early next week. Back to you, Gisela, for Tuesday. And we might have to go a little faster.
Thank you, Olivier. We will speed up. We start at 7 a.m. again on Tuesday with the At-Large Accessibility Working Group. We then move on to the ALAC meeting with the board from 8:30 to 9:30. We then have our ALAC working group working session part 1 from 10 to 12. Olivier, do you wish to comment on that?
Yes, thank you about this. Let me just turn over to the Tuesday. So 10 till 12, ALAC work part 1. We're starting with a working group update. First on the NTIA stewardship transition, who will have met earlier in the week. Also the working group on future challenges with Evan and Jean-Jacques. These are just updates. They're not working group meetings, so they just tell the ALAC what they've been up to. And thirdly, the new GTLD working group, providing a quick update. Then we have our usual time with Maggie Serrat, the Vice President of Contractual Compliance Services. I gather that a time will be added there. I believe it is between 11:15 and 11. If it's only 11:35, then that just gives us 15 minutes.
Maggie,
is that correct?
That has to be updated. It's, I believe, about 25 minutes, 20 to 25 minutes. It's not the full 30 minutes.
Okay.
That's because the NOMCOM chair has a full agenda, as I hope that you can see on that wiki page.
I certainly can. Thank you. It's Olivier speaking. And so thirdly, we have a discussion with the NOMCOM leadership, and that includes Stefan Van Gelder, who is the NOMCOM chair for this year, with a full description on what the NOMCOM is looking for. Back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivier. We then swiftly move on to the Lacrallo monthly meeting, which is planned for 90 minutes from 12:15 to 13:45. Bearing in mind that we will remind everyone the day before on logistics for the meetings and also when to pick up your lunch so that people don't forget that they actually got back-to-back meetings. We've done our best to avoid back-to-back meetings, but there certainly are some. We will move on to the ALAC meeting with the GAC from 2 to 3. Do you wish to comment on that, Olivier?
Not at the time. Thank you, Gisela.
Thank you. We then have ALEC working session part 2 from 3:15 to 5. Over to you, Olivier.
Thank you, Gisela. Olivier speaking. And here the highlight of the afternoon is going to be the update maybe not the whole afternoon, since we are meeting with a GAC earlier, so that's so a highlight of that session between 1515 and 1700 is the update from the INS Stewardship Transition Coordination Group. I have received from the ICG Chair, Elisa Cooper, the confirmation that the ICG will be meeting with us maybe not the full ICG, but the majority of the members of the ICG. And that's, of course, the coordinator group that will be putting together the different proposals from the operational community for the plan that the NTIA is looking for to receive in order to transit those responsibilities that they have. I didn't know how to get out of that sentence, but here we go. Now, back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela. We will then end off with the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the minor function from 5 to 6:30. And I'm not speaking any faster because I do realize we do have interpretation. And Tuesday night, we do have music night that's come back. Timings to be confirmed, 8:30 onwards, and all details will be posted on the wiki page. We are then going to move on to Wednesday.
Well, let me just jump in. It's Olivia speaking. Just one quick thing. So the ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship will obviously be able to follow up from the discussions that we had, that it had with the ICG. And that's the location where it will define its strategy for the future and whether the ALAC will be or will not be submitting its own proposals. Coming back on the same day with the ALAC meeting with the GAC, we do need questions and topics to be discussed with the GAC. I'm not going to put you on the spot now, but please follow up after this call. And I hope that people are not sleeping when I say this, but please follow up after this call to make suggestions as to what topics we would be discussing with the GAC. Back to you, Gisela, Wednesday.
Thank you, Olivier. Alan no longer has his hand up.
Yeah,
Wednesday, when another start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and AOT in the air.
Gisela, I'm not sure. I don't think I can hear you very well. I don't know if it's the same with everyone. Audio is breaking. Sounds like G is underwater. I'm afraid, Gisela, I have to stop you. You're going to have to redial or start another way because we cannot hear you. In the meantime, I'll put Alan Greenberg on. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you. I just note Renalia's comment in the chat talking about new GAC leadership.
GAC is getting new leadership, says Renalia Abdulrahim. Would the ALT be meeting with the new leadership of the GAC? Currently, no. Solidia speaking, by the way. Currently, no. There wasn't any plan for doing so. On this occasion, we have a full meeting of the GAC with the ALAC. Now, that said, it could be arranged to have an informal meeting with the new GAC leadership, if that would help.
When
I'm not quite sure when the new leadership is going to be sitting.
When will the new leadership be selected?
I didn't care about the selection. I think it's when will they be sitting.
Well, they're two different questions, perhaps. I don't know the answer to either.
Thank you, Alan. Rinalia, you have the floor if you do know the answer to this. No answer. Okay, no knowledge light. We'll find out when the new guy. Let's do an action item for staff to find out when the new GAC leadership will be selected, an important thing to do. Continue. Back to you, Gisela. Are you out of water now?
Olivia, can you hear me?
Now, yes, you have dried up. Go ahead.
I'm back on the AC. Let's fingers crossed. We will start again at a 7 a.m. Brighton, Turkey on Wednesday morning with RALO leadership and ALT and liaisons working breakfast with David Olive. We then have would you like to comment on that, Olivier?
Just very briefly, this is a going to happen in addition to a meeting of the of Fadi Shehadeh and David Olive with the RALO chairs that takes place the night before. The meeting is just the night before is just an informal meeting so that Fadi can get to know the chairs themselves. So that's why it's kept very small. The breakfast is going to be a larger issue, and that's going to really be discussing the whole issue of the metrics which are being designed to go from the chair all the way to the ALT, to the ALAC, to the RALOs, to the ALSs, and to basically have a good discussion with David Olive about what the RALOs are doing. And that will include the vice chairs of the RALOs and any secretaries of the RALOs that are present there. Back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivier. Gisela here. We then have our AP RALO monthly meeting from 8:45 to 9:45. From 10 to 11:30, we have that large policy roundtable, which will have two panels of 45 minutes each, the first one being Privacy and Proxy, moderated by Holly Raich, and the second one, Ultimate and Innovative DNS, moderated by Garth Gruen. We then have an RALO monthly meeting from 11:30 to 12:30. Running parallel to that, we have the at-large IDN Policy Working Group, 11:30 to 12:30. We have our at-large regional leadership meeting from 12:30 to 1400. I don't know if Olivier or Sylvia would like to comment on that meeting.
Thank you, Gisela. It's Olivier speaking. Just very briefly, that will obviously follow up from the breakfast, and then we'll also look at the cross-RALO items, such as the update of the rules of procedure. Many of the RALOs have been updating their rules, and so I will try my best to attend the whole length of the meeting, but I do know that I have a few clashes that take place simultaneously, unfortunately. But it's great to see a very packed agenda there for a long, long meeting. Back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivia. Gisela here. We will have our Afralo African joint meeting from 2 to 3:30. We then have the ICANN Academy from 4 to 5:30. Running parallel to that will be the Future Challenges Working Group. And we have the at-large CROP meeting from 5:30 to 6:30. And to finish off the day, we have the NRALO outreach event, which is the showcase from 6:30 to 8:30. And the agenda, the draft agenda, has updated on the wiki page for you all to see. Any comments before we move on to Thursday?
Thank you, Gisela. It's Olivia speaking, and Alan Greenberg has put his hand up.
Thank you. On the NRALO outreach, showcase, last time there was a report several weeks ago, there was still significant funding missing. Can we have a very brief statement from Glenn, because I think he's on the call, as to what the current prognosis is?
Thank you, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. Is Glenn McKnight able to speak? Glenn?
Maybe not.
Might not be able to do so. Now, I, it's Olivia speaking. I can provide an update quickly. There has been indeed a problem of funding, and having finding sponsors at the end of the year is a lot harder than finding sponsors at the beginning of a fiscal year. We were looking for $4,500 to be able to offer the usual the things that we offer, such as a few drinks and food, and have a good keynote speaker. Now, thanks to some very good action from Loris Taylor, we've managed to, who is on the call actually, we managed to obtain a public speaker who is top-notch and who comes from the native community in North America. And at the same time, the alternative to having a bar, an inclusive bar, would be to have a cash bar. However, affiliate has moved forward after being asked, and they would be ready to contribute $1,500. And I'm now in discussion with Verifine, who might be able to fill the rest, so we would be able to offer drinks. That's not firmed up yet, but within the next few days, I expect that we will be able to firm something up, or hope at least that we will be able to firm something up. So no grave concern about this at the moment. Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. All I was really asking for is there a reasonable chance this will happen? And the answer seems to be yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Yes, it's Olivia speaking. I would hope that it's yes. Until this morning, we weren't sure, but yeah, it looks like it will move forward. Okay, let's move on. And let's go to Thursday, I believe. And Gisela, I do realize we are spending a lot of time on this, but let's go through this quickly then. Back to you, Gisela.
Not long to go, Olivier. Gisela here. It's just important that everyone does give the input, if there is any input, as we are then only 2.5 weeks from Los Angeles. We'll start yet with another 7 a.m. meeting for the ALAC and regional leadership. Wrap up part one, the very early start due to the issues that Olivier did mention earlier on with the general meetings. And Olivier, I'm not sure if you wish to comment on this 7 a.m. meeting.
Yes, thank you very much for this, Gisela. All I can say is that we'll be half an hour's of, well, we are going to get breakfast, so it's not absolute hell, but it's a very early start, and unfortunately we have no choice about it. We'll just be reviewing the action items. The second part of our wrap-up will then take place at lunchtime between 12 and 13:30, where we'll be going forward with the actions, any action that needs to be done, and this is the passing of functions from the ALAC chair and the ALT, et cetera. And then we will have some time with Sébastien Bachelet, our 2011-2014 board director selected by At Large, on and asking him on his reflections on his tenure as a board member. I guess at that point he'll be able to tell us all. And then, of course, this is sandwiched between the community discussion with the ICG and the public forum, which means that the ALAC will be supplied with a lunch. This has been granted just like it was in London due to the fact that we had to move our meetings around. And so I very much thank Sally Costerton and Xavier Calvez, who have agreed to this and made sure that we will be catered for, and therefore will not lose too much weight on that day. Back to you, Gisela. And I note that Alan has put his hand up, so maybe I'll first get Alan to speak, and then back to you, Gisela. Alan.
Thank you. Just really a question. Normally for breakfast meetings, it typically takes close to half an hour between before people get their breakfast and settle down. Given this is just a half-hour meeting, I'm hoping that the food will be there and be ready before 7, or it's going to be a waste of time from the point of view of any work.
Yes, thank you for this, Alan. Indeed, I suppose the breakfast will start being served before 7, and I will try and get us to start at 7 sharp, and people will just have to step in and out. This is taking place not in a restaurant. This will take place in our ALAC room.
I understand, but on occasion, you know, there are guards guarding the food until the right time, or they don't bring in the hot dishes until the official starting time. So just a thought. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Alan. We will send Gisela to go and soften the guards and get them to move away from the food. Either that or she'll beat them. Glenn McKnight.
Glenn, for the record, sorry, Olivier, I was on the cell phone at exactly the same time, but I'm back in. I think you gave a bit of a report. The outreach, like you stated, we're shortfall a couple of $1,000s still, but Loris of Native Media has come through with sponsorship for the hoop dancers for the performance, as well as the speaker. So We're still working on sponsorship, but it's as far as everything goes, we're on track. And we have another call on Monday, so if anyone wants to join our call on Monday, to add their comments. So that's I know Alan. Hi. I'm hearing lots of music.
Yeah. Thanks very much for this, Glenn. And yes, we are already in the mood for that showcase since the music has started. Let's move on and back to you, Gisela.
Thank you, Olivia Giesler here. The CCNSO Council will be joining us from 7.30 to 8.15. We've reduced the meeting to 45 minutes to allow us to get to the 8.30 session on enhancing ICANN accountability. And as Olivier mentioned, the wrap-up part two will be between 12 and 1.30, and lunch will be served there. And usually in the afternoon, the public forum ending off the day with the ICANN wrap-up cocktail. Unless there are any other comments, we'll swiftly move to the Friday morning, which is just the ALP meeting from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. That's all from me. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Gisela, and I realize this has taken a little bit too much time to go through. It's Olivier speaking, and I invite you to have a look at the different pages that have been set up for the questions
Olivier,
and the topics to be discussed.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can I ask a question?
Sorry, who is this?
This is Antonio Medina speaking. May I ask a question?
Oh, Antonio, yes, please, go ahead. Antonio Medina.
Thank you, Olivia. This is Antonio Medina for the record. I would like to ask a question in relation to the participation of the remote hubs in this agenda, in this Los Angeles agenda. The Colombian Association of Internet Users has applied and it is working in this regard. So we want to have more details on the meetings in which we will be able to have a connection, to have a direct connection with from the hub to the meeting, specifically because we are interested in designing an agenda for our guests and we want to include a university in the city of Bogota. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Antonio Medina. That's a very good point. And I was going to ask Heidi to provide us with an update on this, if she is able to speak, since she has been our link with the organizers of the system of remote hubs. Heidi, are you on the call?
This is Ariel speaking, and I can answer that question about remote hubs.
Then go ahead, Ariel. You have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Regarding remote hub, the IT team at ICANN will reach out to each individual applicant. And so far we have about 20 applicants, so they will reach out to you in a very short period of time. And please wait patiently for that. And then they will also check with you about the technical requirements. And all those technical requirements are posted on the Remote Hub wiki page, and I will post it in a link. And as soon as you meet all these requirements, then they will proceed to the next step about which hub to select for becoming the remote hub for ICANN 51. So please wait for the feedback and contact from IT team in ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you for this update, Ariel. It's Olivier speaking. Glenn McKnight, you still have your hand up? I got it. Yep, this was an old hand. Okay, thanks for that. So next we then have the questions for the meeting with senior staff and board, and I was going to ask you to really consider those. We don't have to look at questions for the ICANN board now that we are going to be discussing the Atlas 2 follow-up and implementation, but we still need to be putting questions for the global stakeholder engagement Sally Costerton, for the GAC and for the public forum and suggestion of topics for the public forum, which is on the Thursday afternoon. The pages, the wiki pages, are desperately empty at the moment. And so consider putting some points forward. If you don't, then it's probably likely that members of the ELT will do so. And you will wonder where those questions are coming from. Well, now you know they're not coming from you. So please, I'm not going to go on my knees, but I'm just going to tell you, just look at these and suggest some questions. And let's move on because time is ticking. Part number 9 in our agenda, the update on the post-ATLAS II implementation activities. And we're going to fly through this quite quickly. So two parts have taken place, two parallel activities have taken place. On the one side, the ATLAS working group chairs and thematic group chairs have put together some reports on their activities and basically lessons learned from having run those working groups. These are lessons learned which should be helpful to the organizers of the next at-large summit. That would be ATLAS III, I gather. And you can see here a link to the page which has got all of the different feedbacks from each one of the groups. And as you know, earlier Terry Agnew has had to chase up some of these some of the chairs to try and get an update on this. In addition to this, there is a small group of people that have come together to put all of these reports into one larger report, so as to avoid having duplication, etc. That's one process. That's not time dependent. Because it needs to be done by the next ATLAS II. The second activity is the one of the post-ATLAS II activities, and that one is one where each one of the recommendations that came out in the ATLAS II declaration are now in a process of being expanded. You can see on the wiki page that the two things to do was first to find out who the recipients for that recommendation were, and then afterwards assigning it to people to either expand or for working groups to take up and expand or act on. And so that whole table is providing you with the work for some, all 43 recommendations. The observations are not going to be followed up for the time being. If you scroll further down the page, you'll find recommendations that are meant for the board, and on there you can find who they are going to. I've produced some other details which I've so far forwarded to a working group which has been created. It's the ATLAS II Implementation Task Force. There has been a call for members of that implementation task force that has come out on the list in the past 24 hours, I believe. So far, the members of that task force are the chairs of the thematic groups and the chairs of the ATLAS II organizing committees. But we are asking for everyone to join. It's important that we get many people involved in that post-ATLAS II setup. And so the next steps will be for me to probably in the next 20 hours or so, or 12 or 24 hours or so, to email each one of the chairs of our at-large working group. So, for example, the outreach working group, if you look at number 2, so you look at recommendation number 2, ICANN should increase support, budget staff to programs having brought valuable members to the community. That the assignees for that are the outreach working group, the capacity building working group, and the finance and budget subcommittee. So I will be writing to each one of those three working groups, reminding or letting them know of that task and asking for them to come back to me with a timeline on how soon they could have an answer for us or have performed the work. We do have one deadline, which is the deadline of the ALA meeting, a meeting with the board. So we will focus first on the board on the board recommendations or recommendations for the board. The only problem being at the moment is that we've got a very busy set of weeks and we have very little time until we meet in Los Angeles. So later on this week, we will find out on timetables and see if the working groups are able to proceed forward with expanding on these recommendations. I think there are 5 or 6 working groups involved altogether, so that hopefully should share the load and let everyone be able to respond quickly. Any comments or questions on this? No? Okay, let's then move on, and we have the at-large working group update from the working group chairs. If you reload the agenda, you will note that the 10C has been added, the at-large new GTLD working group, an update from Evan. Let's start first with 10A, at-large ad hoc working group and the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INF function. Do we have Jean-Jacques Subrana or Mohamed El Bashir on the line? I don't see either of them, but perhaps they are on the call.
Sorry, Olivier.
Go ahead,
neither of them are on the call.
Well, that's bloody marvelous. Let me go on the record. It's Olivier speaking for saying that's bloody marvelous. Thank you. And so it looks like I'm probably going to have to provide a quick update on this. So there has been another call of the ICG that has taken place, the INA coordinating group. Another call took place last week where there has been small progress with regards to the charter, with regards to the overall charter of things, and with regards to the request for proposals. Now the group is looking at their working methods and how to find consensus, etc., and this sort of thing. And so we've got our own working group that is looking at feeding both Jean-Jacques and Mohamed with all of the information that they require. And as I've mentioned to you, the working group will be meeting in Los Angeles to define its own strategy on where to go. Parallel to this, the cross-community working group on INA stewardship transition, which will be dealing primarily with putting together a proposal for the names part of the INA stewardship transition. That working group is very close to being activated and proceeding forward. The charter has been agreed, has been ratified by the ALAC during our last few weeks, and we have provided details of this to others. I understand that the GNSO is in progress of having that also chartered. The CCNSO has also is likely to ratify it. So this is very close from moving forward. And I might be wrong, it might have actually already happened that this charter was ratified by the other SOs and ACs. I understand that the cross-community working group will meet in Los Angeles, and so that's when the action will start taking place. Any questions or comments? No? Okay, so then the next working group update is for the Future Challenges working group, and for this we have Evan Leibovitch and Jean-Jacques Chabrena, who's not here. So, Evan, you have the floor.
Thanks very much, Olivier. I'll keep this relatively short. We've already had a first meeting of the Future Challenges working group. Based on previous activities, we have been charged with trying to deal with the overall issue of ICANN accountability. Members of the Summit Thematic Group 4 were directed to come into the Future Challenges group if they wanted to continue the discussion that had started at the summit. And so we had a very successful first meeting. One of the themes that came up was, given the fact that this particular group is sort of trying to come up with a high-level approach to things, the issue was brought up that accountability and transparency are really means to an end rather than ends in themselves. And that the actual objective is trust. We perceive that there is a significant trust gap between ICANN and the public that is trying to serve out there. And so ongoing Future Challenges is going to be working to try and address issues to do with trust and how accountability and transparency and governance fit into that. I have been starting to work on a possible position paper to be used as a starting point, and so that's still under under development. So we will be meeting at the London meeting to see where we want to take this further. We may choose to come up with a number of different solutions that may come into ALAC advice. Future Challenges Group has produced white papers before. We may decide to go that route. So right now things are still very much under discussion. I invite anyone here to get involved with that, and we will be meeting in London on the Wednesday.
Thanks very much for this, Evan. It's Olivier speaking. Are there any questions or comments on Evan's report of the Future Challenges Working Group? No? Okay. So I trust, Evan, that this is proceeding forward quite well. Let's move to 10C, the at-large new GTLD Working Group, and back again to Evan Leibovich.
Thanks, Olivier, and I also want to welcome Ron Andruff on the call to deal with the specific issue that we're going to be that I want to talk about. The new GTLD working group has already had meetings previously. The two issues having been discussed were, first of all, how we want to address the fact that the ICANN community is already starting to make noises about creating future and subsequent rounds of new GTLDs. When in the eyes of some, we really haven't seen the fallout and consequences from the current round that's going through. So one part of the GTLD committee is going to be looking at that. The other one, and that's why Ron is on the call, is to follow up on the issue of the public comment period that ALAC put out regarding the PICS, the public interest commitment regime that ICANN has in place. And we took a stand against that. We took out a public comment period. The staff summary of the responses to that public comment period have now been produced and are published. They effectively show that the domain industry as a whole does not like the idea of revisiting the public interest commitments, but basically everybody else was in favor of the position we took, that the current PIC regime is really, really badly flawed, does not serve the public interest, and that we need to pressure ICANN to come up with a replacement. The domain industry has been taking two approaches. Number one, that the PIC stuff is good enough, that it's too late to do any changes, and has been defending it. And so this is the situation we find ourselves in. Ron and some others within the community have been suggesting that we cannot wait for the London meeting, that we in fact need to send a message to at large, to the broader ICANN community, reminding them that the PIC system is simply not sufficient. It is not serving the public interest. The problem we also have is with timing. ICANN has already started to sign contracts with some of the so-called Category 1 TLDs, which were the ones that were singled out by the GAC for being sensitive to public interest. These things with the current insufficient PIC system, ICANN has started to create those contracts, even though we have asked that they hold off on this, even though the GAC has asked for clarification. And so that's the position we find ourselves in right now. The reason I asked this to go on to the call at this point and asked to add this to the agenda is because this has become rather severe. And so the question is, what action do we want to take going forward, and are we capable of doing something before the LA meeting? Thank you.
Thank you for this, Evan. It's good to see that this is proceeding forward slowly but surely. Are there any comments or questions from everyone on the call? I see Ron Andruff. Ron Andruff, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier, and thank you very much for the cogent statement, Evan, regarding the Policy Advisory Board model. I think one of the critical elements is that I'm realizing now as time goes by is that basically staff go about their merry way doing what they want, and they kind of allow the things to hang out there long with the community, and therefore, as time goes by, they say, well, this has been out there for so long, I'm sorry we can't do anything now. And this is exactly why Evan's comment about sending a letter to the board and the NGPC and staff, the CEO, making very clear that this is an accountability issue, that the issue of trust between the board, staff, and the community is lacking, and there's a big void there because of these types of things. While the ALAC has a public comment period out on the policy advisory boards, apologies for my open window, while the public comment is open, even before the London meeting began, the staff were signing contracts with potential applicants for regulated industries, regulated industry strings. So this is the issue that needs to be brought forward. It's an accountability issue, and I feel very strongly about it, and we'd be very happy to work with the new GTLD committee or with the chair of the ALAC, however you would choose, to help draft that letter. Happy to contribute to the drafting of that letter and sending them a very clear message that it's about accountability, and this is just not right. We need these kinds of safeguards, and if they're not willing to put them in, they certainly cannot be treating users as they are now, just so cavalierly that they don't even wait for the public comment period to come to a close. So I'll stop with that, and I thank you very much for giving me a moment to say a few words.
Thanks very much, Ron Andrew. Are there any more questions or comments? It's Olivier speaking for the transcript. Any questions, comments? Okay, so I think we can move forward then with the rest of our agenda, and we will see the follow-up of all of these working groups in Los Angeles, as I believe that they're all meeting over there, so that will be more work for everyone. Items for information. We've got three items left at the end of this call. I understand it is the top of the hour, and thankfully the interpreters have let us know that they are able to stay a little while longer. Let's not make it too hard for them. It's been 2 hours so far. And so the first of our items for information is the update on the at-large website revamp. And for this, I ask Ariel Liang to take the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Ariel. Just to give you a quick update about the at-large website revamp, recently we have formed a small team, which consists of Olivier Das and Anthony from the community side, me and Heidi from the staff side, the ICANN product team, mainly Chris Gift and his staff, Steve Elson, and an outside vendor, which is called Column 5 Media. And then this small team kick off the project about 2 weeks ago, and we have three meetings so far. So what we have done so far is to review the project charter, which details the objectives of the revamp, the target audience of the new site, and what is in scope and what is out of scope for this project. And then another two meetings, we did a deep dive into our current site and look at all the problems we have been facing for different pages. For example, their information architecture, their search capability, and also the way they communicate message, and then see what we can do better. So this week, the Column 5 Media, the outside vendors, finally contracted. So they have formed a small team and will work very closely with the staff from ICANN and also Olivier Dab and Anthony on this project. And in a meeting, we'll be able to present some initial design ideas. It won't be 100% done, but we aim to get the design 75% done. and you will be able to see several pages showing how the page will look, home page will look like, or the correspondence page will look like. So they will show you all those idea drafts and possibly some design guides as well. And then after the LA meeting, the IT will bring in development staff from, development vendors. They will be in charge of coding for the website and based on the design that Column 5 will produce. So in Morocco, we will aim to show the beta prototype for this website, and sometimes in April, we aim to launch the website. So that's the timeline and the goal. If you want to learn more information about this revamped project, I'm going to paste the link in the chat, which is the wiki page created for this small revamp task force. And now you will see all the chat and Adobe recording for this team. And if you want to see the project charter, I also paste in the chat. It's PowerPoint that me and Steve Elton made to give you an overview what the goal for this project is. So for more information, you can look at that. And also another additional point why we chose, why we have Dave and Anthony in this team is Dave is the chair of the technology task force, and Anthony is appointed by Cheryl as the representative for the accessibility working group. So these two groups are very relevant to the website revamp effort, and then they will serve as the representatives for these groups. At the same time, they will communicate the progress made on the website to their respective working groups so that the broader, a large community can be involved in this project as well. So that's all the update I have.
Thanks for this, Ariel, and with the lovely music after you speak. It's Olivier speaking, and we should go back to you for an update on the at-large social media activities.
Thank you, Olivier. I'm going to show you a quick PowerPoint. It's very small and short. Just give me 1 second. Okay. So I'm just going to show you some basic statistics of our social media performance after Atlas 2. These graphs you see is the data collected from July the 1st till today. And the first page you see is our growth of a Twitter follower. So good news is after Atlas 2, our social media didn't get become obsolete. And in fact, our followers are growing every day. So far from Atlas 2, we have grown 247 new followers to today. So it's very encouraging. And I did a quick calculation. So on average, we have two new followers per day. So that's a pretty good trend. And on the second page you see is the frequency of our tweets on a daily basis as well as retweets. I mean, so once I tweet out, somebody else will retweet it on their handle. And you can see we never stop tweeting. And on average, we tweet two tweets per day. And also we have a healthy interaction with other Twitter followers. So the blue bars you see are the retweets from other people. So it's also continuing, and that's very good. We did a very small project on hashtag for our social media channels. We want to create this brand for a large community, but we didn't have consensus on which hashtag will be used for at large. So we did this survey on both Facebook and Twitter, and we got 32 responses, and these are the results of our hashtag brand, and the most popular one is the hashtag ICANNAtLarge. And because of that survey, we start using this hashtags more and more in our tweets and Facebook posts. But it's also an experimenting process. Means we will also use, for example, hashtag at large or hashtag at large underscore, and just to test which one has the most response. So it's an ongoing process, but we will aim to have the brand generated for branding our community. And so these are the quick updates on Twitter now. And now Facebook, you can see from Post Atlas 2, we also have a continuous growth of the fan base. And so far, we have 1,063 likes of our Facebook page. So that's about more than 100 new likes since July the 1st. Here, the second page, I listed several top Facebook posts during July, August, and some of the posts have more than 2,000 people have seen it. So you can see our reach on Facebook is pretty big. But of course, that depends on the content of the post. Not every post has 2,000 reach, but we have a few, have a really good response from our fans. And this, you can see our reach trend on a daily basis. Right now it's a little bit quieter than before, but we are hoping in our 1051 our reach will spike again, just like what we had during Atlas 2. So these are some quick updates of our Facebook and Twitter performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ariel. It's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and thanks for all of these statistics. I gather that as long as you can keep up the rise in the number of Twitter users and the number of likes at the same rate as the French national debt, you're probably doing pretty well. So we'll now move on to the last part of our agenda, and that's any other business, ladies and gentlemen. I don't see anyone put their hand up. So all I need to do, of course, I should have guessed that Alan Greenberg was going to put his hand up at the 11th hour. Alan, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Olivier. Just a reminder to the ALAC members, at least those who are on this call, that we will be having an election starting in a few days for the incoming ALT position from the Australasian Pacific Asia region, sorry, I muffed that. And
Asia, Australasia, and Pacific Islands.
Thank you very much. I'm going to have to master this. And the GNSO liaison position, so please, when they're all posted, look at the answers to the questions we've asked, engage the individuals directly, and do a considered vote. This is an opportunity the ALAC rarely has to actually vote on leadership. So let's do it right. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. Any other business? Seeing no one put their hand up, I have to thank the interpreters for having exceeded their 2 hours allocation and especially the French interpreter, whom I understand is by themselves today in doing the interpretation. So thanks to all of you and a very warm welcome for a second ALAC call for our Russian interpreter. I believe that is the second one. So thanks to them. I also would like to thank the men and women who do the transcript, because we often forget them, but I have spent a significant amount of time in those 4 years reading transcripts, and it's very, very helpful indeed to remember what I have said in those two and a half hours of these calls. This is now my last ALAC call, ladies and gentlemen, and for this, I really thank you for your patience. It was a pleasure to chair those calls for the past 4 years, and I can therefore just say for the last time on an ALAC call, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night, and perhaps goodbye. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all in Los Angeles. This call is adjourned.
Thanks.